Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Four-man rush. He throws it out, intercepted. The nickel corner, Kaywan Williams, man for man on Cedric Wilson. And the throw was just a little wide. Wilson turned a different way than the ball went, and it went right to Kaywan Williams for the first turnover of the game.
Brad Sham with the call. He'll join us at 7:20 this morning. Cowboys have their season come up short, losing to San Fran by 6 yesterday here on DFW Sports Station. Star up, star down, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. And got to start off with star down for the quarterback. Dak was 23 of 43 for 254. Average yards per pass, 5.9. Jimmy G was at 6.9. Garoppolo only threw for 172, but he was not sacked once. Wasn't sacked at all. Dak was sacked 5 times. So star down to the offensive line as well. And someone called me yesterday who was at the game and said they have to fix this O-line in the offseason. It's a problem, and I'm very curious to see Tyron Smith's grade for this game, because I saw multiple times where he was pushed back into the backfield, and it may be time to finally exercise the Tyron replacement plan. And this was without Nick Bosa for the second half.
Yeah.
This was with Fred Warner getting hurt. They're two best defensive players. And Tyron Smith and this offensive line continue to get pushed around. Connor Williams got left on a really bad sack. We're not even talking about the penalties yet, but the quarterback did not step up like he needed to with all the pressure on his shoulder. Star down for number 4.
When you're taking 5 sacks and the other guy's not taking any, and we recognize in 2022 of our Lord that sacks are a quarterback stat, and the other guy's not taking any sacks, it's on you. And your yards per attempt is a full yard shorter than the other guy. The Cowboys had the better quarterback overall, but not yesterday. Jimmy was better than Dak. He just was. Dak was not very good. He has absolutely deserved the star down that he is getting. He did not put the team, he really didn't make a ton of plays to help his team out. Again, teams have been confusing him. They really have. He had to finally, he used his legs a little bit. Good. Had the over plus 7.5 on the yardage.
Rush
very
yards.
Nice. 7.5 rush yards.
And people sitting there saying, all year long, we wanted Dak to use his legs a little bit more. And then when he finally did, we didn't get a final snap off.
Didn't get a final snap.
Didn't get a final play.
He's better when he's throwing on the run. There was the pass to Schultz. He had a couple of nice passes on the run in this game. And it just, when he's dropping back, for whatever reason, his decision-making just wasn't there. And the offensive line does need a rebuild. This is like 2010. If you go back, that was a great offensive line.
With that Flozell was in them?
The Flozell, Kosher, Colombo, Gerard, Leonard Davis line. All right, that was fantastic. And then those guys got old after the 09 season. And then you started the transition of, bringing in Tyron, then bringing in Frederick, then bringing in Zach. Remember how bad that offensive line was in those 8-8 seasons? And now we're going to be in that same transition. It's been about that many years, and we are going to be in that same transition right now to be able to find the next offensive line, because this offensive line just isn't cutting it anymore.
Hot boy on Twitter, a diehard Cowboy fan. If a defense doesn't blitz Dak, he's confused, and word got around the league. You're right. You are absolutely right.
Dick was right.
How many times did we remember that stat that the Niners DBs get penalized with the ball in the air more than anyone in the league, and the Cowboys receivers are able to go ahead and draw flags? I'm curious how many deep attempts there were. They were treating Cedric Wilson like Michael Irvin out there. The Cedric Wilson play. You know, it's hard for me to blame Dak a lot on that. That was a really tough throw, and Cedric kind of had to turn his body the other way. But CeeDee Lamb was totally forgotten about in this game. Like, totally forgotten about. He ended up with 5 targets, but he had 1 catch for 21 yards, and it came in the third quarter. Throughout the second half of the year, we started worrying about Kellen Moore. Why aren't you getting the ball to these receivers? Dak, why aren't you targeting these receivers? Arizona was depleted. Like, there's a big blinking light over top of their corners and their secondary, and you didn't target your receivers. Michael Irvin couldn't even come up with an answer for it. And then yesterday, in terms of the targets, Amari ended up getting 10. Cedric got 10. CeeDee Lamb with 5, but he didn't get his first catch until the third quarter. And then Tony Pollard. So we find out that, well, let's get to Amari, because he's oftentimes the most interesting soundbite. Amari, with the season ending just a few minutes before in the locker room.
It's probably that you got to wait so long to redeem yourself, you know. Not like basketball or anything where you get several tries at it, you know, to win a series, because we do feel like we're the better team, you know. Just get one shot at it, and that's what makes it so hard.
So that's Amari afterwards. And then Tony Pollard. We find out Zeke's got a torn PCL, and they were so excited to get Tony Pollard back. And you saw some bursts on the kickoff returns. The first big one got called back, of course, because of a penalty. Pollard ended up with 6 total touches in this game. He had 4 carries and 2 catches with Zeke nursing the torn PCL. We knew that the running game was broken, and they ended up with 21 carries, 77 yards on the day. But Dak had 27 of them.
Yeah.
3.7 a carry, RJ. The longest run was Dak, 17 yards.
And it was about 5 yards too long. When you're down 13 zip, you can still run. When you're down 23-7, you know, in the fourth quarter, running the ball is probably not in the not in your best interest. I mean, you still want to be able to do it every now and then. They couldn't run the ball this year. They have a high dollar running back who was hurt. Their offensive line is not creating the necessary holes, and quite frankly, they're just not able to do it. In terms of the wide receivers not getting the ball, I'm putting this squarely on the shoulders of the quarterback. Like, does everybody think Kyle Shanahan's a good offensive coordinator?
Yes.
Well, why wasn't he able to get George Kittle more than one catch? Or more than one?
Well,
than 3 targets.
But they also thought of as a running team. We're supposed to be a passing team.
Yeah, but Jimmy threw the ball 25 times. You would think that in 25 attempts, you're going to target arguably the best tight end in the NFL. You can make the argument that George is. He's certainly top 2 or 3. You would think you would throw the ball to him more than 3 times.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, they had 38 carries.
Yeah. No, but still, 25 Jimmy attempts, we're talking about, you know, whatever 3 divided by 25 is for percentage. It's a minuscule percent. It's like 5%, 10%. I have no idea. It's 10%. Whatever it is. Doesn't matter. The point is, it's very low. And I'm not going to sit here and kill Kellen Moore for that. That's on the quarterback. The quarterback's the one who determines where the ball goes.
I feel like you want to take a turn in terms of going away from coach blame today. I feel like you're simmering up to it. You're bubbling. You want to go there. I just rip the Band-Aid off. What is being overblown? What other way do you want to go in terms of what the narratives are?
Because I think just blaming the offensive coordinator,
but everyone,
not getting the ball to a receiver, is lazy. I think it's stupid. It's on the quarterback. The quarterback determines where to throw the ball. Aaron Rodgers, doesn't matter who the offensive coordinator is, he's going to get the ball to Devontae Adams. It doesn't matter if it's Josh McDaniels or Byron Leftwich. Tom Brady's going to get the ball to Rob Gronkowski. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. I'm sorry, who the offensive coordinator was for Peyton Manning. He was going to throw it to Demaryius Thomas and to Marvin Harrison. Doesn't matter who the OC was. Okay? This is not on Kellen Moore for not getting the ball to CeeDee Lamb. This is on Dak Prescott. It's simple. It's just on Dak Prescott. I'm not going to blame Kellen Moore because he doesn't determine where the ball goes.
Star down to the most frustrating thing of the entire day and the season. Penalties. 14 penalties. Mm-hmm. Rick Gosselin tweeted this out. There have been 276 games played this year, including the postseason. 276. Only four games had 14 penalties on a team. Cowboys had two of them. Cowboys had 50% of the games this year where 14 penalties were called on one team. They are an undisciplined, dumb team. Football dumb. They just are. 5-6 pre-snap penalties. Connor Williams with a hold that wiped out a huge CD gain in the third. Micah offside. You have them pinned on their own goal line. It's third down. It's the third quarter. And they're pinned, and Micah jumps offsides. Randy Gregory jumping offsides. Opening drive in the third. Mike McCarthy has just told Tracy Wolfson, what's frustrating us the most, what I told him at halftime, stop with the penalties, and then we have to score on this opening drive, right? Because we were looking for that back-to-back, the middle eight, New England calls it. Try to get a score final 8 minutes of the second quarter. You're getting the ball to start the third. It's third and four, two false starts. All of a sudden, third and 14. How many drives? I would like to know how many clean drives the Cowboys had yesterday when they didn't back themselves up. It felt like everything was first and 15. Drives were second and 20. The amount that you have to overcome. Third and 14, they got lucky with the roughing the punter. That kept drive alive.
And not to be able to score a touchdown on that one was kind of a killer. You know, like they gave you life. In a moment where, you know, it felt like San Fran was going to, you know, pitch a perfect game, they gave you life.
Tyron had a third and 11 hold at the end. Randy offside, third and five, automatic first down. The delay of game debacle after your fake punt of 5 first half penalties, and they more than doubled that in the second half. The Gallimore, third and 12. Gallimore, hands in the face when he almost took off the guy's helmet. That was with 4:30 left. That was crippling.
By the way, I have never in my life seen a defensive holding call on a running play.
Oh, with Randy?
I've never seen it. I was watching the game with people. Nobody's ever seen it. And I saw it twice in the fourth quarter. So something tells me that San Fran alerted the officials during the week, or at some point, this is what this team does. Be on the lookout for this, because I've literally never seen it called. Interestingly enough, and I saw this on social media, and it was sent to me by TJ. Fifth time in postseason history, a team committed 14 penalties. We are the first ones to lose that game.
What?
Yeah. 1980, the Raiders beat Houston in the wild card game with 14 penalties. 81, Niners beat the Giants.
Wow.
Let's see. Raiders beat Tennessee in the AFC Championship game in 02. Cowboys 09 beat the Eagles. All teams had committed 14 penalties. We were the first ones to lose that game.
That's insane. That is incredible. And then Malik Hooker should have had that interception at midfield. Malik Hooker, a DB. Nope, there was already a penalty thrown. That was the 13th penalty. DeMarcus Lawrence, after the game, on the refs.
I'm in here talking to y'all now. I mean, and nothing I can say or do to change, you know, the outcome of the game. So just got to take it with a grain of salt.
And thankfully, Jerry, no excuses afterwards. Thank goodness. As he was sitting there saying, shouldn't have come down to all this stuff.
Right, you shouldn't have had a chance to win it.
Right. It took an index card type replay on Trent Williams getting thrown for a flag, thrown for a penalty off the Debo reverse, where Anthony Brown made a business decision not to try to stop him with the season on the line.
And you know, that was a bad, you know, there was two, you know, you could question the football IQ of Dak not getting down, and then on Jimmy on that play.
With not letting Trent get set.
You gotta let your guy get set.
Like Dak not letting CD get set.
Rule number one about being a quarterback, like, you know, make sure your players are set. And he didn't do it. That was the game. Cowboys shouldn't even have been in that position. Should not even have been in there.
That it should have ended there. Yeah,
it should have ended on Jimmy. You know,
Kyle Shanahan kept the Cowboys alive. What was being said by everyone yesterday on social media? Fantastic play caller, bad game manager was some of the things Kyle Shanahan did with the cowardly punts. And you're like, yes, thank you, please. You got Mike McCarthy's fourth down decisions. You got Kyle Shanahan's, and you got Jerry Jones being very blunt after the game when he is asked about Mike McCarthy's future. We'll continue with all of it on a depressing, devastating Cowboys Monday next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back at the 32, snap to Prescott. Oh, he's rushed. Collins got beaten. Down he goes. Sacked by DJ Jones. Back inside the 20.
Brad Sham on the call. He'll join us 1 hour from now. Did he call the last? I can't believe I'm... it feels so shock jockey. Because I dismissed it on Friday, but it's alive.
Oh, yeah.
It is alive. Even Jason Lacanfora. So I tweeted at Lacanfora on Saturday, CBS reporter, said Mike McCarthy could be gone depending on what happens with this game, because Jerry really, really likes the coordinators, and he wouldn't want Kellen Moore or Dan Quinn to get away. Last week, we played a clip from Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and he was asked, fill in the blank, if the Cowboys lose. And he said, I think they wrap up Kellen Moore quickly and have him be the next guy. Well, in DFW, many people would want Dan Quinn to be that next guy and not Kellen Moore. Before we hear from Jerry, Mike McCarthy on what he has to say to Cowboys fans following that debacle yesterday.
Well, I thought our fans were tremendous today. I thought the environment here was incredible. You know, I know there was talk about their fans, but I thought our fans were outstanding throughout the, you know, you could feel it in pregame. So, yes, but I'm disappointed, but, you know, we're disappointed too. We put a tremendous amount into this. We clearly felt that, you know, this is a game you have to get the first one, obviously, you know, being captain obvious, but the first one, in my experience, is always the hardest one, especially when it's your first time through. I thought we were a little, a little jittery in some spots to start the game. But I felt once we settled in, it was a heck of a contest. So we knew it was going to be back and forth. They definitely had some stress points that gave us some challenges throughout the game. But, you know, once again, I'm proud of where our football team competed.
I'm sorry. Where was the game yesterday? Was it in Cali?
No, it was in...
Are you sure?
Cali South.
Cali South?
Yeah.
Because I could have sworn I saw it on my television and during my virtual watch party on Let's Hang Live that game was in Arlington.
Yeah.
Why were you jittery? I don't get that. I mean, I get it's a playoff game and wild card and, you know, everything that's going into it, but why are you jittery?
McCarthy said this is going to sting for a long time. I'm disappointed as hell. This is a game we expected to win. Jerry Jones, who will join us tomorrow at 8:30, gave his reaction to the L.
They deserved us to win this game tonight, and they deserved us to go farther. So it was quite a letdown, quite a letdown. And we've got good players in there, really good players. And San Francisco played well, but even at that, they did play well. They outplayed us, but at the end, we still left ourselves a chance, and very disappointing that we couldn't get it done. I would like to say that when I look at the year, I feel one way, but the year, a big part of it, when you got a team like this, is winning tonight, and we didn't get her done tonight. That's big time disappointing.
Bobby Bell told me like Jerry was like in shock right there talking to the media. He was like, he was devastated. Like he was just like in another world talking. And then the follow up is
him being in shock might be the biggest shock. Like, what's he in shock about? Has he seen this for 30 years?
Yeah, he's in shock because none of this is his fault.
There you go.
Yes.
It's not. And I want to make sure people understand that.
Are you saying it's not Jerry's fault, or are you saying Jerry doesn't think it's his fault?
It is not Jerry Jones's fault. He put all the pieces in place. Now, people can say, well, one of those pieces was Mike McCarthy. Well, that's true. But all the players bringing Dak back, having... you know, full control of what he needs to do with this team as a GM. He did all that, I believe, accurately this year. This loss should not be put on Jerry Jones.
Well, my question is, you know, did this front office just put their head in the sand with the penalty undisciplined problems throughout the entire year? Now, I don't know what they could do about it directly, but anytime we ask Jerry about it, game management, penalties, always glass half full. Other people have problems. Other people butcher game management situations throughout the league. Mike McCarthy's this. Mike McCarthy is that. And he sounds, and I know a lot of it is for PR and what he says publicly, but sometimes Jerry sounds oblivious to reality. And I think when you say, why is he surprised? Because Jerry Jones wakes up every day, I think, forgetting the negative. That's how optimistic he is all the time, and I think sometimes it makes them a little bit oblivious.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a good quality to have, and sometimes it's a negative quality.
Yep.
And right now it might be a negative one. Did he do everything right? I don't know. We're looking at it, and we're trying to assess blame, and I think a lot of times we completely ignore, you know, the one constant here, because he constantly props up the talent on this team.
Because
he picks the talent. You know, if half these guys played for Jacksonville, you never would have heard of them. They play here, they're household names.
Jerry, on more disappointment, and he was asked about Mike McCarthy's future.
And I'm really disappointed for our fans. They really deserve to see this team advance on into the playoffs.
Is there any possibility of you making a coaching change?
I don't even want to discuss anything like that at this particular time. No discussion about anything.
Coming out down 13-0, did this team look unprepared tonight?
Again, I'm not going to discuss coaching, the preparation, any of those things. That's not on the table.
I mean, they were not prepared. I mean, well, they were prepared. The other team just was just better. You know, like they worked at this thing for 7 days. They were prepared at some level.
Why didn't he shut down anything about McCarthy's future? Why didn't he just say, yeah, he's back? It's his second year, guys. We just went 12-5. It was a horrible, horrible way to end our season. And yeah, he's going to be back here. Why didn't he just say that?
Yeah, he's done that before. He did that here on 105.3 The Fan years ago with Newey Scruggs. Yes, Wade Phillips is coming back. And then he was gone the next week. I mean, he's done it before.
So here's what I was told afterwards. By the way, the other quotes, Jerry, I can't remember the last time I was this disappointed. And then he said, when you get this combination of players together, you need to have success.
Hey, there he goes. There he goes again. Deflecting blame to somebody else. Never the players' fault around here. Never.
I think that Jerry is thinking about it. Here's what I was told. McCarthy is Steven's guy. Steven is like the biggest advocate for McCarthy. So maybe in the next 24 to 48 hours, Steven Jones may, I don't know for sure. He may have to talk Jerry off of a coaching cliff. He may have to be like, Dad, let's not sit here and rush to judgment. Let's not make a brash decision. Look at the year we had. We had the number one offense. This guy was hands off. He let Kellen do his job. There's a reason everybody wants our coaching staff, you know, and Mike brought Dan Quinn in. You know, you got to give him credit for that. He's got the players' backs. He didn't throw anyone under the bus. We just got to get a little bit more physical, you know, against the Rundy. It was a bad matchup, Dad, because Jerry Jones did not shut that down. And that gives life to the report from Jason LaConfora that we all laughed at over the weekend, I guess except for RJ, because yesterday we had, or on Friday, we had a segment saying, is there any way that Mike McCarthy could be in trouble? Is this the game to put him in trouble? Because you said there was a possibility, and I said, no way. You could lose 30-7, and it would be off the table, and I think I'm wrong in that I think it's on the table.
I think it's on the table. I don't think I would necessarily do it, but I think it's definitely on the table. I think it's...
What happened yesterday? They obviously didn't lose 30-7, but it's like, aside from a blowout, every debacle that would have had to happen to make you question your head coach did happen.
Yeah, it did.
Like the perfect scenario played out to put McCarthy's head on the platter.
It's like a Joe Judge situation. Like, you know, he just kept getting in his own way and stepping on his own foot.
Yeah.
You know, so I do think it definitely is on the table in this one. And there's no, I mean, again, I'm not talking about whether it's deserved.
Yeah.
Or whether I would do it. It's just that it's on. I do think it's on the table.
Mike McCarthy afterwards, do you have any concern about your future?
I don't have any concerns. I'm proud to be standing here today. Proud of my football team.
So now here's the hourglass. Dan Quinn is going to Denver. Someone whispered to me yesterday, if the Cowboys put the piece of paper on the table today, this morning, on the fan cam, Jerry Jones walks in with this piece of paper, and it's a contract for Dan Quinn to take over this team, that Dan Quinn would probably take this job. That Dan Quinn would take over the job instead of going to Denver. I'm not reporting that. That's what someone suggested heavily to me yesterday. So now you got Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn has leverage if this is on the table. Jerry's got to decide, do I let Dan Quinn, because it ain't going to be, it better not be Kellen Moore's ass. I know that. If Kellen Moore got promoted to head coach, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do based upon the way this season ended in the second half with the Golden Child. But you got Dan Quinn saying, Jerry, I love you. Thank you for this job. I'm going to Denver. And you let Quinn go versus continuity with Mike. I think that is something that has to be in Jerry's mind today, because Dan Quinn to Denver sounds like it's a lock. I put these options out there on Twitter, at 1053SS, for you to vote on. At 1053SS. Option A, keep McCarthy. Jerry, loyal. We saw it with Jason Garrett. Option B, promote Dan Quinn to head coach or bring in Brian Flores, someone like that. And then option C, I keep being told about the infatuation with Sean Payton. And Sean Payton's deal is up next year. And Sean Payton has said to people, like, this isn't a regular job. This is
He lives here, too. He's always at a house here.
Yeah. And obviously, Jerry ties. So option A is keep McCarthy. Option B is promote Dan Quinn. Don't let him get away or go hire a Brian Flores. And option C is Mike McCarthy for another year. If it doesn't work, Sean Payton, and the name Mike Vrabel was even brought up to me, that Mike Vrabel sometimes looks at this place like Sean Payton does. How do you vote? 877-881-1053.
I mean,
first off, how'd the Tolos vote? Yes.
I saw the poll. I thought it was fire McCarthy, keep Quinn. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Quinn
and
or
Sean Payton.
Quinn or Flores, 63%.
We gotta
And then McCarthy for another year, then a Sean Payton type, 30%. Keep McCarthy again, wound, open, fresh, 7%.
Can we just stop with the, I mean, are we forgetting what Dan Quinn was like in Atlanta and all the talk about what a disaster it was? After the Super Bowl, they were just a bad team. And they still, like, you know, like they had Matt Ryan's QBR in the years he was there would have put him in the top four of the NFL this year, every single year. Every single year. And they couldn't get out of their own way. We're just going to forget that? We're just going to look only at what Dan's done this year here as a DC? Maybe he's just a DC. Maybe he's Wade Phillips.
Maybe.
Okay? I'm not putting this team in those hands.
After 11-5 and the Super Bowl loss to New England, they were 10-6, lost to the Eagles in the divisional round, then 7-9, 7-9, started off 0-5, fired. Their defense was awful. I mean, Dan Quinn had, you got to remember who had Mike Nolan before we did.
Yeah, Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn. Remember when we were bringing in all these old pieces from the Falcons we were laughing at? We were like, why are you bringing this in from Atlanta? Dan Quinn was the coach of those pieces.
Yeah. Should I ignore all that? I mean, I don't know. It's just...
Well, it's a Chris Richard effect. That's what's happening.
Is he even in the league? Everybody here wanted Chris... Oh, I got to have Chris Richard. Is he even in the league?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Dak has to get this out of bounds or he's taking a shot to the end zone. This is scary because I would take a shot to the end zone here when they're in the sideline defense because you actually can hold on to the ball. You need someone, San Francisco, to get to the quarterback here. Prescott takes off running the football. Whoa, I don't think this is going to work out.
It will. They'll be able to clock this. They would plan for it. It's down.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the official gets in the way. The game's over.
Gosh.
The game is over.
Oh, he did.
How embarrassing. How embarrassing. You don't even get your final playoff and your season ends actually perfectly for this team and this head coach and this quarterback and this coaching staff overall with a game mismanagement. Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station, 105.3 The Fan, with 14 seconds left, no timeouts. Dak Prescott takes off for 16 yards. He gets down with 9 seconds left, and then the circus breaks out with the referee trying to play catch-up, bumping Dak, not getting the ball to the official first, giving it to the center, the mismanagement down there. Here's Romo on the mechanics of that play and what has to happen, because everyone loves Jerry, in love with Tony Romo's football IQ. Here he is explaining things after the game ended.
Whoa, they're going to look at this. It's going to be over because the umpire has to touch the ball. Of course, that's ridiculous for a game to end like that, Jim. Wow, I am livid if I'm a Cowboy fan and if I'm a Niners fan.
That's the end of the game. The game is over. The game is over, and San Francisco survives and advances.
I can't explain the... I just wanted one final throw. Yeah, the odds were, you know, basically zero. I just wanted like one toss up into the end zone to live on that, and to not even get that, to be robbed of that. That was a gut punch. That was an absolute gut punch to have the referee. I was like, New York's not going to allow this. They're going to come in and save the day like they did on Debo's run, where they had it come up short. Trent Williams, it's meant to be. It's destiny. Toss one up to CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper, and it never happened. Romo with more discussion on what happened at the end.
You called it. It was risky. They had time. Dak's supposed to go, but you're not supposed to go past 10 or 12 yards. Once you get into that 13, 14, the clock runs and gets away from you on something like this happens.
Gene, here you go. Remember, we saw this on the play after the fake punt, the same scenario where the umpire got in the way.
He has to touch it, though. Yep. Dak doesn't realize. These guys don't realize he has to touch the ball.
So Tony's talking like Dak and the players didn't know the mechanics of it, and they just had it happen to them earlier after the fake punt, which, by the way, I thought they got tremendously lucky with that fake punt. That I was waiting to jump McCarthy's ass for that and Bones Fossil, because there's a couple fourth down decisions in this game. On that, the first one, I applauded Mike. Bones was in his face, and he goes, punt, punt. It's a 16-point game. You're really backed up. So at the least, they're going to kick a field goal. Freaking Robbie Gold. Gold mining. The gold is 24 karat today. All these references. And I'm like, punt it? You got an all-pro punter, and he pinned them back on their 10. You got the ball back in much better field position. So I applauded McCarthy for the first punt. But the second one, I'm screaming, no! What do you have to go for it. It's at midfield. It's 4th and 5. You have to. And San Francisco wasn't thinking the same thing, and they allow the Cowboys to execute a fake punt, and then the Cowboys try to get too cute, because Kingsbury schooled McCarthy with this a few weeks ago with different personnel, trying to get San Fran to burn a timeout, and the Cowboys, with their personnel, waited too long, and they got a delay of game penalty. That was the biggest boo. The biggest reaction from the crowd I heard throughout the entire game is when they got a delay a game. And I don't know whether they were furious with the refs or furious with the team, but man, the crowd shots of these Cowboy fans yesterday, these poor people, they're going to be memes for a long time whenever America's team and that star comes up.
Yeah. I mean, look, I would have gone for it on the first one. You know, it's 4th and 2. I know you're at your own 33. You're running out of time here. You know, it was 4.5 minutes to go.
No,
it was in the third quarter. When it's 4th and 2, you're down 23-7. You're running out of time. Okay. I know it's still third quarter, but you are running out of time. I think that's the one you're talking about.
Five minutes left, own 35-yard line, 4th and 2.
Yeah. I'd have gone.
Okay.
I'd have gone. You're running out of time. They're a running team. They chew clock like crazy.
And I was going by the pace of the game. I'm like, this offense is broken. I don't have great confidence that they're going to pick this up. Go ahead and punt it. Pin them back. Maybe you get a turnover. San Francisco ended up, they ended up punting it to San Fran 7. So I like that right there. That worked out. And McCarthy kicking that other field goal
worked out as well to where the Cowboys with a touchdown win the game, right? That 51-yarder. Yeah. What were you thinking on the 51-yarder? Because that's one of those moments. I mean, that's the greatness of sports. When you're frozen and I don't know what to do. I didn't know whether that was right. I didn't know whether that was wrong. You're trusting Zuerlein. Oh, my gosh. If he misses it, why not just go for it? The 51-yard attempt.
I didn't have a huge issue with it because it was a 4th and 7. I mean, you're limited on – I mean, you're in a tough spot. 4th and 7 is – that's not one you typically go for unless you have to. Now, again, the field goal didn't really do much. It made a two-possession game. You know, usually if you're gonna
only thing it changed was instead of tying, you could win it.
Correct.
Because you were down 6.
Correct. So I mean, there was a reason to do it. I did not have a huge issue with kicking the field goal there, not a huge one. But I mean, there was a lot of questions in this game about whether or not they were making, you know, some of the right procedural calls, or you know, obviously you get down to the end. I just wish that in this era. Okay, why are we still using some really antiquated why are we relying on an old man sprinting down a field? Why can't one of the other officials, there's like 6 officials, why can't one that's right next to the play spot the dang football? Why does it have to be that one guy running down? Why can't they amend that? You know, you're crunched for time here. Why can't they use something other than chain links to figure out where a first down is?
And then after the game, I thought Dak Prescott had, and he is flawless. He is the face that you want for your franchise. After the game, a couple of fans were throwing things on the field. Like Tank Lawrence had to deflect one. And after the game, he said, that S wasn't being thrown at me. That was being thrown at the refs. Dak was asked about that afterwards.
No, I didn't see that. It's sad. I mean, you're talking about a team. You're talking about men that come out each and every day of their lives and give everything to this sport, give everything to this game of football. Nobody wants to succeed more than we want to succeed. I understand fans and the word fan for fanatic. I get that. But to know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest. Nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose. And for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter and be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
I think they were aiming at the referees.
Yeah, they were referees. Well, shit, credit to them then. Credit to them.
So Dak thinks that the reporters are telling him the fans are throwing it at the players. And he said that's very, very disappointing. And then they said, no, it was the referees. And he goes, okay, credit to them, with a dead serious straight face. So the reporters are like, all right, let's just clarify. Let's just ask about this one more time. Like, were you joking with the response in terms of throwing things at the refs and that being okay?
We were told that the fans were throwing the stuff at the officials. You said good for them.
Yeah.
That just tells your feeling about how they officiated the game.
If they weren't at us and the fans felt the same way as us and that's what they're doing it for, then yeah, I'm guessing that's why the fans, I mean, guess that's why the refs took off and got out of there so fast. I think everybody's upset with the way that this thing played out. And as I said, as I'm sure a fan would be the same, it feels the same way that we do.
So that was Dak, and I think Dak will probably be issuing a retraction like in the next 48 hours with the impression that he was advocating and fine with people throwing things at the referees.
Well, if he doesn't issue a retraction, then Dakota, why don't you read a great poem? It's called
A what?
Poem? Or do you want to go poem?
Haiku?
A poem?
A poem?
What is a poem?
Or do you say poem?
I say a poem.
Okay, we'll go a poem.
What's a poem?
A poem. The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Go read that one, because in there's a story about a sailor who shoots an albatross, and as punishment for the atrocity that he did, he has to wear the albatross around his neck. And therefore, there comes the phrase, it's like wearing an albatross. This is Dak's albatross. Right here.
Why would you wear a tuna around your neck?
The Scarlet Letter.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, the fact that he said that after the game, I was like, where's all the motivational speeches? Where's all the stuff that you normally say that's printed on some mural that sold at Hobby Lobby?
All I want is the stuff about
you sucked.
Yeah.
Just own your own play. They did this earlier at the end of the regular season, having the players go out and blame the referees. Are we going to, like, you're delusional. Y'all sound delusional. It's coming from your head coach, and now Dak is repeating it. And it's like, just talk about you got your asses physically whipped in the first half. You scored 17 points with your little high-octane offense. You committed 14 penalties. I guess the ref screwed you on all those, right? I guess, again, the NFL just had it out for you. They would rather a no-name quarterback in San Francisco move on instead of the Dallas Cowboys against Tom Brady. The league really doesn't want that matchup. And then they don't want the rematch of the Dez incident. They don't want the Cowboys at Lambeau, you know, rematch of the historic championship games from the past. They wouldn't want that. They're just out to get you, and that's all. I'm just so sick and tired of them. I'm so sick.
Well, then blame
the
owner, because he's the one that enables them. This is just like Austin, where the city enables all those Longhorn players. That's why that team stinks year in and year out, no matter how many good recruiting classes Mac Brown
had. Jerry's
the
only one who said, doesn't blame the refs. He's the only one.
Right, he put so much power. And not power, but like praise into the players. They're untouchable. So we're always over here blaming somebody else instead of the people we should be blaming, which is the front office and the players at the time. Players were the ones that cost this game. It's just the enabling that goes on. It's annoying. Same thing that happens in Austin.
What about the sun? We haven't even talked about
it. Oh my God. Use some curtains!
We haven't even talked about the sun. The Cedric Wilson pass that he got blinded on at midfield. Jerry Jones, 8:30 tomorrow. Phone calls as well. Brad Sham at 7:20. And headlines, how the Cowboys ended up being the only home team to lose this weekend. Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.